We welcome you to Home Church. My name is Andy. I'm one of the pastors here. And if you are new here, we welcome you. There's a Connect card in front of you. If you do not have a home church yet, you're welcome to find home here at our church. And we just want to journey with you with your faith. So we're not going to give it to any of your contact information anywhere else, but we do want to stay in touch with you with your journey with Jesus. And we also take sermon notes. So if you want sermon notes, you can grab one. We have hard copies. You can grab one also on our app. And it's an opportunity for us to hear the message today and then apply it to your life this week. What is your favorite food spot? Maybe yesterday you went to your favorite place with your favorite person. I don't know if that's true. Maybe you made a favorite meal at home. Maybe you're deciding to say, I'm going to save a few bucks and get my favorite meal off Valentine's Day on Main Street today. I really don't know what that looks like for you, but do you have a favorite spot to eat? When our kids were little, Anik was working at a medical office clinic, and when Anik was working, I had four little kids, I was called Mr. Mom. One day a week, I was called Mr. Mom, and I had to cook meals and provide for my four kids. And I absolutely loved it. It was organized chaos, but it was great. And this one particular time, I decided to have on the menu spaghetti and chicken and salad. Really simple, right? Great family meal. But what happened, as I'm preparing the meal, there was no spaghetti sauce. And as a Mr. Mom, you go into panic mode because you don't know what else to do. Like, do you default to Kraft Dinner? Do you default to taking them out somewhere? Do you go to McDonald's? That's typical Mr. Mom. But I'm like, no, I have four kids. We only have one vehicle at the time. Anik had the vehicle at work, and so I improvised. I went to Google. And in Google, I wanted to find a new pasta sauce, something that we haven't had before. And so I found the ingredients that Google was saying. I've never done this before, but I put all the ingredients together in a pan, and I was searing the spaghetti noodles together. And then we had some Parmesan cheese, so I put a little bit of Parmesan cheese, barbecue chicken, and salad. Maybe you're hungry now and you want to leave early. And I presented it to my kids. And since that day forward, they're like, wow, Dad, your spaghetti is amazing. I don't know what you put in here, but they would call it Dad's famous spaghetti. And so when it's Dad's time or Mr. Mom to have spaghetti or I'm on the docket to make a meal, I ask my boys, hey, what do you guys want for dinner? Dad's famous spaghetti. It's all the cases. And so basically it's some olive oil, has like a little bit of sometimes green onion, some garlic in there. And then I sear the spaghetti and they absolutely love it. And so I'm famous now because of Dad's famous spaghetti. Now, for us as followers of Jesus in the room, God calls us to be the same type of ingredients to our world, to make a difference, to add a new flavor to our world. And we are called to not make ourselves famous, but to make the one that is always famous, the name above all names, which is Jesus. And we are in a sermon series called Seek First. If we seek God first and all his righteousness, all these things that we want in life will actually align up. So the first week we talked about the culture of Jesus, the kingdom of God and what that represented. Last week we talked about our different cultures that we have been raised up in. And sometimes we make decision makings based on our culture or our family values. There's nothing wrong with that. But as followers of Jesus, there's a primary culture to be a kingdom culture. And we see this in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It's the Sermon of the Mount. And I want to share with you really quickly what Jesus was trying to say in all types of people. So there was Romans there was Jewish people there was Greeks, there was Gentiles, there was those who are considered close to God, far from God, all gathered together to hear the words of Jesus, because Jesus is the only way where cultures can come together and be one culture. So Jesus puts it this way, you are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled. And then Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put a light on a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand so that all can see. In the same way, Jesus says, let your light shine before others. Let you have a new flavor, an opportunity for people to taste and see the goodness of God, that they may see your good deeds, he says, and glorify your God in heaven. So today, we have to ask the question, how do you and I influence the world around us? Sometimes as followers of Jesus, we mix this up and say, well, the world's really influencing us. But how do followers of Jesus influence the culture and the world around us? Just like Dad's famous spaghetti, how can we actually make Jesus famous in our lives? The first thing that we see here, as you would know, is that Jesus says that you are salt to the world. Not to be salty, but to be salt, to make a difference. Now, we need to understand what this means. The first reason that we see the purpose of salt in the ancient world was a preservative. It would hold in the flavor and hold into the meals of the day. There was no refrigerators back at Jesus' day. There was no freezers. There was no instant meals. There was no McDonald's or Starbucks back then. But you would preserve through salt, and it would bring out the seasonings of the meal that you were about to have. And it would bring a unique flavor to the world. And so, I don't know about you, but have you ever had a meal and you got sick because of it? We call it food poisoning. One day, we decided as a family to drive from Vancouver to Disneyland. It took us 3 days to do that. We did the long tour. And so on the way down, we stopped at a hotel. And when you have a big family, you go to hotels where it has the continental all-you-can-eat breakfast. You know what I'm saying? You want to make the most out of every penny you have. And so we're driving down to Disneyland, and we stop at this one place, and it has an all-you-can-eat breakfast. And I had something that day that none of my kids or none of my family had, but I did. And I'm like, wow, these are amazing. So I had more than one, two, three, four, five. And they were like this seasoned boiled egg. You know where this is going. So we get onto the highway I-5. We're going down to Disneyland. And right away, I'm like, Anik, I am not feeling so good. I start to like feel sweaty. There's something going on in my stomach. I'm like, what did I eat? Like, I didn't eat anything weird. My family's like, Disneyland. I'm like, oh no, Disneyland. And so I'm pulling off of the highway and I feel like my body is just to reject everything that I just ate 2 hours before. And I'm vomiting on the side of the highway. Felt great. Then get back into the car, keep going. 2 hours later, same thing. I'm like, Anik, I'm not feeling too good. I pray to turn around or to go to the side of the highway. This time at the side of the highway, I'm puking, and I'm like, cars are just racing by. Like, I had to do it, or else I'm like going to be puking out the window. That whole day, I felt terrible. I don't know about you, but you know why my body rejected it. It was spoiled food. It was rotten food. And even though we live in a spoiled, rotten world, it's the flavors of God that preserves the world. We are called to be different. We're called to make a difference in others as Jesus makes a difference in our lives. This is what Paul says to the early followers of Jesus in a local church in Colossae. He says, continue steadfast in prayer. Be watchful in thanksgiving, he says. In the same time, pray for us that God may open a door for the word of God to declare the mysteries of Christ. We're going to skip to verse 6. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you would know how you ought to answer each person that comes at you with the salt of Jesus. He even says this, as Jesus says with his disciples. Now, in this context in Mark, is the disciples of Jesus were getting a little salty with each other. They didn't like each other at the time. Some of them were comparing and competing with each other. Others were judging with each other. And so Jesus knows this is happening. They were getting salty. We don't get salty here at Home Church. We want to show salt. But we all sometimes want to default to becoming salty rather than reveal salt. But this is what Jesus says, recorded by Mark. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves, he says, and be at peace with one another, Mark says. So how do we show a preservative in our rotten, spoiled world that we want to vomit up? Have you ever been that sick before? How can salt help our world to be better and different? Well, Paul says it really clear in these passages of scriptures. The first one is a very simple one, but most importantly is prayer. We pray for one another. There's power in prayer. God releases something supernaturally when we pray. Pray is not a theory. It is strengthened in action. And every single one of us can pray anytime, any place, anywhere. Last week, you probably didn't, if you weren't here, maybe I embarrassed myself, but you probably didn't see a lead pastor do a push-up before on stage. And I did that to show that we are called to practice. We're called to exercise the ways of Jesus. And every single one of us can exercise in certain ways. In the same way, when we exercise in prayer, it's like the same amount of air you breathe. Prayer should be something that comes natural, organic, intentional, that you don't even think about, but at the same time, you're praying. Your default is to God. Now, if you do too many push-ups, one year I did 1,000 push-ups in an hour. I had to do it for a fundraiser for a history maker. After about 500, my muscles were so sore. Because after a while, if you exercise, if you don't have enough oxygen with your muscles, lactic acid rises. Lactic acid is when your body goes into shock and your body starts to get sore. Because there's not enough red blood cells coming to repair your muscles in a certain amount of time. It's the same with prayer. Prayer is the oxygen when life gets stressful. Prayer is the ability to heal yourself when you are trying too hard, or when you're burning out, or when you're trying to do your own thing. Prayer is what helps us move the church forward. I've said this before, but I'll say it again. Prayer is like the fuel to your car or the electricity to your electric car. You can't go very far on an empty tank, but you can go far in strength when you have energy. It's the same with prayer. Prayer is the energy of God at work, and every single one of us can pray about anything, anytime. In this context, though, what should we pray for? Well, we pray for other people's needs, supernaturally, and God meets those needs. I encourage you, if you want to, start a prayer journal. Write down all your prayer requests on one side, and then just pray and see if God exercise prayer and see if God will answer your prayers. If you don't want to do it in a journal, then put it in your notes. Get an opportunity to just put it in your phone and say, these are my prayer requests. And you don't have to share it with anyone, but be honest and real with yourself and then see how God will show up. He will show up every time. He might not necessarily answer your prayers according to all what you want, but he will show up and he will answer your prayers. So for Paul, these are prayers that God answers. He asks us to pray for other people's needs. And so even after every service, we have prayer workers at the front wanting to provide ministry to you and to pray alongside you, to pray for people to stay focused on the teachings of Jesus in the midst of a busy, distracted world, to pray for us to experience ministry to rise in our church with Night to Shine or Happy Lunar New Year, all these events that we do, when we open up home groups or we do different ministries, that God that would influence, not because we're busy, but because we're fruitful And God whispers to us to do those things, to pray and strengthen our faith. As we've learned, we live in a shame, fear, or power culture, don't we? But when we live like Jesus, as we learned last week, we live with a love culture that moves us to servanthood, not to power or control our own ways. So each of us can pray like the air we breathe. I was a personal trainer for a few years before COVID. After COVID, it didn't do that. But when we moved down here for the first time, we were living in West Kelowna. So working out wasn't really a big thing for me in West Kelowna. I would work out ever a bit, but when we moved down, Anik encouraged me, and I thought of the same thing, I should get a personal trainer. I thought that would be a good idea. And I remember going to the gym for the first time with my personal trainer, and he gave me some exercises to do, and I was just beaten up. I thought I was healthy and fit. He beat me up pretty good with these leg extensions I was doing, because I've never done single leg extensions before. And I'm like, oh yeah, this is a great workout, until 2 days later. After 2 days later, I couldn't even go up the stairs. I had to go up the stairs backwards like this. Okay, I couldn't go down. So even going down the stairs, I had to go backwards. I was so sore. Now, this might sound like a simple analogy, but prayer does the opposite spiritually. We've all been beaten up, bruised, broken before, spiritually, emotionally, relationally. And sometimes we'd rather go to Google than to God. Or we try to rely on our own strength than His strength. But prayer is the access point for God to heal us and to keep us flexible in a world that is not, and to reveal Jesus. And even more importantly, it actually gives us the opportunity to see God move in supernatural ways. And He gets the glory for it. So each one of us, how do we become salt, not salty in our world? We pray. We pray for others. We pray for ourselves. We pray for God to move. The second one is to be thankful. Thankful for one another. We see in the early church that Paul talks about thankfulness as a foundation to faith. Now, I'm a pastor. I hear a lot of different things. In most cases, people talk to pastors about things they are not thankful for. They talk about their problems, their sins, their spouse, the issues that they're facing. And all of these things are great because we just simply say, well, let me pray with you. You just point people back to God. But thankfulness, as we see in the scriptures, as evidence of a person who's actually following Jesus, is someone who's thankful. So let's pause here really quickly. What are you thankful for? Even if you're taking sermon notes, you can even write in the margins what you're thankful for. Maybe you are thankful for your spouse. You're thankful for Valentine's Day yesterday and having Dad's famous spaghetti. We didn't do that yesterday, but in any context, maybe you're thankful for family. What are you thankful for? Each of us in this room can be thankful for something. Every one of us. You can't come to me and say, I can't be thankful because I'm not thankful. No, thankfulness is a decision. Thankfulness is a condition. And as followers of Jesus, it is actually foundational because of these realities. Even though we go through trials and temptations and troubles, we can be thankful for salvation, that I have right relationship with God. We can be thankful for today where we can worship and encourage and have fellowship with one another. We can be thankful for you fill in the blank, whatever that looks like for you, but I encourage you to write down what you're thankful for. You can't suggest to me to be sad and depressed and thankful at the same time. Social sciences have actually realized this in the last 2 years, that those that wrestle with mental health issues, if they can just turn and be thankful for certain things, their well-being, personal well-being, actually increases. Those are of that wrestle with mental health issues who aren't thankful, ill-being raises to the occasion. It's really a choice that we can make. What are you thankful for today? You see, when we're people of prayer and we're people of thanksgiving, when our world prays on people, we have the opportunity to pray for people. If we can go to the next slide, that would be great. If you can get anything out of today, this is it. Our world prays on people, but God's people pray for people. This is when spiritual maturity rises to the occasion. This is when, as followers of Jesus, we actually exercise the ways of Jesus in our culture. We have seen it this week as well. Our world prays on each other, but we're called to pray with one another. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful picture in our world today. But not only are we called, as we see with the Apostle Paul, to pray and to be thankful, but we are called to give a unique flavor, just like Dad's famous spaghetti, with our words for one another. You see, our words matter. What we say matters. How we communicate the gospel matters. It was God who brought into creation through his words. If you read the gospels around God, Jesus' healing, he would lay a hand, but he spoke healing into being. You see that God's words matter, therefore our words matter. We can bring healing with our words, or we can bring hurt and harmful words. It's really our choice, but when you pray for others and you're thankful for each other, you should encourage one another, even if you disagree with one another. We should be able to encourage one another. We should be able to send words of kindness and respect and care. We should be able to listen and to respond and to cheer and to bring out God's best. Maybe you're watching the Olympics, and each Olympic athlete has a set of coaches. And these coaches give feedback, responses to cheer for their athlete. And in most cases, athletes, especially on the Olympic side, won't be thankful for their genetics, won't be thankful for their hard work, even though all of these things are important, won't be thankful just about sponsorship or getting a gold medal or even being at the games. They thank, number one, the most important person to them is their coach. Why? Because their coach believes in them. Their coach says words over them that brings out the best in them. It's the coach that sees things that they don't see and wants them to bring out the best in them. You might not be an Olympian here today or a world-class athlete, but the best coach, might sound cheesy, is actually Jesus. He encourages us. He whispers to us. He gives us words that want us to be full of salt, not saltiness, and light. And when we allow Jesus to speak to us as the divine coach, then we become coaches to others. And we can speak life into others, even when they've spoken death over you. It is a choice that you get to make. Again, the world prays on people, but as followers of Jesus, our response should be praying with people, for our neighborhood, for people around us, for those that have hurt us or hindered us. To be like Jesus, that's what salt really means. But Jesus doesn't just talk about salt here. He says that we are called to be light to the world. If you are taking sermon notes, you will see that being a light of a world is this light that for all to see. The imagery here is not to put a lamp under a bowl or to hide it, but for all to see. So I don't have a lamp, but I do have a digital device. You'll see a little light, right? Now, it makes no sense for me to put my hand over it and not let the light shine. It makes no sense. It makes no sense for me to keep the light on because it's taking all the energy of my battery and my digital device. So I'm not just going to leave it on and put my hand over it. The same with us that we need to understand is that we are called to be light to our world. And the purpose of a light, this might make super sense, is to bring light. But it's not your light. It's the light of Jesus. Look at what the passage of scripture that we see in Matthew chapter 4. This is when Jesus is just coming out of the wilderness. And he says, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. Jesus is the light of the world. And he reveals light to us. It means that light is hope. Home church means hope on Main and 18th. That hope is more than wishful thinking. That hope is more than what we think the future will be. But hope is a person named Jesus because he brings light. And now if you are a follower of Jesus, you are to illuminate that light. You see, the purpose of a lamp is to illuminate the light of Jesus, not just our own personal lights. You see, in Jesus' day, if you hit a lamp or you put it under a bowl, it actually snuffs out the light. When I was growing up reading this passage of scripture, I just thought, oh, that person is just hiding it, putting it somewhere where no one can see it. But there's another reality that when you snuff out a light, it stops shining. We stop shining the ways of Jesus, and we might try to shine our own ways or our own methods. And so the purpose of a lamp is to illuminate the light of Jesus. If we can go to the next slide there. This is giving us an opportunity for us to actually, for all people to see because of what Jesus has done in us. So guess what? A couple of weeks ago, it was my turn to cook dinner. I'm like, hey, boys, what do you want for a meal? Guess what it was? Dad's famous spaghetti. Yes, you're right. But guess what? I didn't have all the ingredients that day either. So I made the spaghetti. They had it all ready. I was making barbecue chicken, and I accidentally put a different ingredient in the chicken. I'll get to that. And some salad. And my boys, they just will eat anything now. They're all teenagers, so teenagers will eat whatever you give them now. But in any context, I put the wrong ingredient on the chicken. And someone said, Dad, this chicken is way too spicy. What did you put in it? And so I was hoping to put paprika on it, but I put cayenne on it. And then I barbecued it. So it's super hot. And my boys are like, oh, who cares, Dad? We love it. But they're telling me, Dad, this is way too hot. Now, this is an imagery, friends, a quick imagery, that when we hide the lamp, when we hide our good deeds, we give the world the wrong ingredients. The world starts to spoil, become rotten. And rather than see Jesus, they might see religion. They might see your good deeds rather than God's good deeds in you. And it's perpetual, isn't it? It leads to unforgiveness, bitterness, triangulation, judgment. And all of these characteristics, unfortunately, are the wrong flavors. When we hide the lamp from our lives, it's like putting the wrong ingredients in a meal, and someone says, oh, that's disgusting, Dad. It's not world famous anymore. How about you? What flavor are you giving to others? Is it salt or saltiness? Is it the light of the world, which is Jesus, or is it just your own light? That doesn't lead to Jesus, it leads to you. And maybe you're here today and you're new and you're like, well, why did I come to hear about salt and light? I want to encourage you today that Jesus gives you salt and light. Jesus wants to give you a new way of life. You see, what he was saying in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, which I encourage you to read this week, is a new way of life. It's a new way of thinking. It's a new culture to live in our Canadian or different context that we come from. Jesus preserves life. He brings flavor to your life. He seasons your souls, and he gives light to your darkness. He brings clarity to your life. He brings hope. And even though this world tries to bring flavors and seasoning and light and hope, nothing compares to the name above all names, like we just sang about, the light of the world. So maybe you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus. This is a great day to invite Jesus into your soul. I'm sorry if you've seen a political Jesus or a religious Jesus or a personalized Jesus, but when you look at Scripture, you see hope for the world. Light and salt. His name is Jesus of Nazareth. It's the right way for Jesus. And he calls us to be salt and light. Maybe you're here today and you are a follower of Jesus. I encourage you today, be different. Be that unique flavor of yourself. Don't try to be other people's flavors. Bring a flavor that is unique to the person and the personhood of who you are in Christ Jesus. Let your salt bring flavor to the world and be light for all to see. Please, friend, don't say you're a follower of Jesus and bring rotten food to the conversation. Don't say that you are a follower of Jesus and you bring the wrong flavors. You don't see that in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. You don't see it. May Jesus be seen in you. May your good deeds, as you see in the sermon notes, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds. And look at what they say there, that they glorify your Father in heaven. It doesn't say glorify Pastor Andy. It doesn't say glorify Pastor Vincent, even though that's pretty close. It says glorify your Father in heaven. When I go to bed at night, my prayer is that somehow, some way, my kids have seen Jesus in me. That my spouse has seen Jesus in me. When I go to the gym, that my friends at the gym would see Jesus. When I walk around this community, or when we do events like NTS and Lunar New Year, that people would see Jesus and glorify Jesus. That when we are in a revitalization process and trying to become a neighborhood church, that through our good deeds, they would, what? Glorify God. What a great opportunity that you and I have. So we need to ask ourselves, as the worship team comes up, how can salt and light live in your life? And how can those closest to you see salt and light? What areas of your life, friends, as we go into worship, need God's salt and light? Maybe there's areas in your life, for a lack of a better word, that's rotten and spoiled and need the salt of Jesus. Maybe there's parts in your life that is dark and dreary and full of fear. Would you let God's light into your life? I wasn't going to share it, but I will. Tuesday at night, I get a text from someone from Tumblr Ridge. She's a teacher. And her parents, way back when I was a youth pastor, used to be youth workers in my youth ministry. She reached out to me and she said, Andy, pray for us. She's like, I lost 4 students today and an EA. Before it all came out, and I read that text and I'm like, oh gosh. When I say these things, it's not just to preach. It's to reveal. Like, this is real life. And as followers of Jesus, what do you need to do to turn around from wrong ingredients and the stumbling blocks of our dark world to find light? And as a pastor, I have no words to say I have no words to say to that teacher other than, hey, God's close to those who are brokenhearted. God is close when there's no answers. And then the world responds with salt and light. How can you respond to the broken world around us with the salt and light of Jesus? So let's stand together. And as you worship him today, as you seek him first and all his righteousness, that all these things that you have in life that you want and dear into your heart would be ministered to because of the greatness of Jesus. And in the brokenness and the darkness and the saltiness of our world, would see something different in you this week. So Lord, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to speak, to guide, to bring life. Lord, I pray courage and faith to rise in this room. That we would truly be a unique flavor of Jesus. A world-famous flavor because of who Jesus is. But God, I pray that each of us too would bring the spoils, the rottenness, and the darkness to you afresh. And as we go through a time of prayer, I'm going to ask Pastor Paul and Janice, our prayer workers, to come up. If you have a prayer request, if you have any need, we want to walk with you. We want to pray with you. There's no shame, guilt, or fear in this room. We are a church who offers and invites people to hope. And for those that aren't a follower of Jesus yet, I encourage today is your day. As we learned from our world, we don't know what the next day will look like, but we do know that God does. And even in the midst of brokenness, God is there. Let him speak. Let him guide. Seek first him. Seek his righteousness. And all these things, all our burdens, all our needs will be met in Christ Jesus. Let's worship together. All things.